Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster with Payments.com, and I'm here today with Tom Furr, who is the CEO of PatientPay. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
So doing great here in Boston. It's a beautiful day, and I thought we could chat a little bit about what you're doing to tackle some of the very tough problems in the healthcare space, and that's namely getting your arms wrapped around payments and billing. You've been at this since 2008, so I thought it would be helpful just to get caught up on what you're doing and how what you're doing is really transforming the healthcare payments and billing space.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We have been doing this for a while, and thank you again for having me on your show today. We, as with any startup, ran into a number of walls while we were working to try and help automate the whole patient payment perspective in healthcare. And so what happened initially was we were collecting payments, and there's software in practices, and they send like paper statements out. They do a lot of stuff. They do scheduling and all that. And so we would collect the payment, and then these paper statements would go out, and the patient would be pretty upset because they paid their payment through patient pay, and then they were getting a paper statement saying they still owed something. And so what we had to do is figure out how do we trick the software that practices use. It's called practice management software, and it's companies like, Athena Health up in Boston, or Allscripts, or Greenway, or NextGen. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And we kind of stumbled into a solution that enabled us to trick the practice management system to not send paper statement, but to leverage existing infrastructure that they're currently doing actually to collect insurance payments. And lo and behold, it worked. And more importantly, we filed a number of patents with the patent office and were issued 3 patents about a year and a half ago on our process, because no one thought to use the mechanisms that we use to trick the practice management system as a means to get patient balance, information in and out of a practice management system. That's a long answer to your question, but hopefully it kind of makes sense to some of the folks that are out there trying to do what we're doing these days.
So Tom, why did you have to trick the practice management software? What about it made it incapable of reconciling what people were paying through your system with their record of what the payment outstanding balance was?
Karen, that's a great question. So the way the systems have been designed, and you got to keep in mind, even 3 or 4 years ago, most of the payments that practices or hospitals, for that matter, capture from the insurance payments. So these software systems were designed to collect insurance payments. And so at night, after a doctor has posted the charts, these software systems will automatically send out an electronic claim to, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, United, Humana, any of the payers out there. And after, a week or two, they'll get adjudicated, which means the insurance company will send back an electronic claim that says, based on our negotiated rate, here's how much you're allowed to charge my member. And based on my member's insurance policy, here's how much we're going to pay. And then here's how much you need to go collect from the patient. And today, 98% of bills that are sent in healthcare are sent via paper. So the systems automatically will either create a paper statement after that whole process is done, or they'll send a file off automatically to a paper vendor that will create a piece of paper that is sent to the patient. And then the paper statement is hopefully mailed back. And then it's a very manual process to get that data back into the practice management system. So what happens is, if a statement is sent back to the practice, they will open it. And according to MasterCard, 80%+ of payments made in healthcare are made with a check. So they have these paper statements, scanners that hook into the bank. And they'll scan the check, and assuming that it clears, they then swing over to the other screen that has the practice management system on it. And they'll bring up the record of the patient, and they will then see how much was, allowed, how much was paid by the insurance company, and then, of course, what's left over that they should have collected. They'll manually reconcile it, and then the process is done. So if you don't fit within that flow, then, you know, automatically paper statements are being sent out. And the problem that practices have from a cost perspective is it's not normally one paper statement. It's numerous paper statements. In fact, on average, according to the MGMA, which is the Medical Managers Groups Association, it's the healthcare kind of office manager association, it takes 3.3 paper statements before you get your payment back. So it's extremely expensive to send those paper statements out, and even more expensive to then process that payment. Well, by us not being fit into that workflow, as I mentioned, we were collecting payments sitting over here on the sidelines, and then the software would go through its system, and all of a sudden a paper statement would be triggered automatically. So what we've done is we've kind of tricked the practice management system to treat us like a payer. And so now, you know, they were automatically sending electronic statements out to the payer and then getting electronic statements back and it posting automatically. We get an electronic statement just like the insurance companies, you know, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, United, Humana, and the likes. And then we're able to determine, you know, what was paid by the insurance company, what is owed by the patient, and start communicating with the patient electronically to get that payment made back to the practice. So not only are we helping to expedite the payments that are being made to practices, but more importantly, we're driving down the cost to do that.
Wow, listening to you describe the process, you know, my head is spinning. And as a consumer, you know, I can relate to the 3.3 paper statements because I think as consumers, we're trained to ignore a lot of the paper that we get from either insurance companies or providers because we don't know how to interpret all the paper. We know that, you know, there's a statement, and then the insurance company sends you a statement, which is basically information, and then your provider sends you a statement, which may or may not have the insurance company payment reflected on it. So we've all been trained to ignore at least the first couple of bills that we get or communications that we get from insurance companies or providers and take no action on them. So it sounds like what you're doing is really creating a different workflow in addition to a billing system or payment system that makes that process a lot more efficient for practices.
Well, you know, Karen, you're in the payments business, so this stat probably doesn't surprise you, but according to the U.S. Postal Service, 60% of people today pay their bills online.
Yep.
Yet healthcare has continued to send paper statements. As I mentioned earlier, 98% of bills sent out are done by paper. And so what we're doing is really nothing kind of innovative with the patient because they're already doing that. It's just kind of innovated in healthcare. And in addition to not only making things electronic, we realize that it's a very confusing world out there. Look, I'm in this space. And what happens is today, for those practices that I go to that aren't using patient pay, I get a paper statement. And there's a whole bunch of line items on it. It says, here at this visit, you owe this much in this visit. Yet from my insurance company, I'm getting what's referred to as an EOB or an explanation of benefit. And it's one of those, you know, this is not a bill. And that comes for each event. So I got these multiple EOBs saying, okay, last month you did this and this month you did that. But I'm getting one paper statement. So trying to match those two things up is like apples and oranges. Well, one of the things patient pay does is we immediately get out to the patient with the bill the minute that, you know, we get that electronic statement sent to us. But it matches up line by line with the insurance company's EOB. So now you get an EOB from the insurance company that says, this is not a bill, but here's how much we saved you, and here's how much we're paying, and here's how much you owe. And then you get a bill from patient pay once you log in, and it says, oh, line by line, this line right here, this was due because of a deductible. And so when you cursor over deductible on the system, it explains what a deductible is because, again, most people don't know this lingo that the insurance world has created, or this is coinsurance. So we're trying to not only get to them quicker so that it's still fresh in their mind of, oh, yeah, I went to see this doctor, and here's, you know, why I was there, but more importantly, to educate them on the bill and why they're having to pay, so that now you have a patient pay bill and you've got your EOB from the insurance company. They match up line by line if you lay them on a table, and it makes it much easier for them to pay, because what we're hearing from patients is they'll pay their bill if they understand it, but if
right.
they don't understand it, they're not going to pay it.
So what is the consumer experience? Explain that. Is this something that is made available to them through the practice? Is it something that they interact with? Help us understand, you know, the use case from the consumer's perspective.
Well, let me first say, Karen, usability is extremely important to us. A good friend of mine worked at Google for 7 years. And so when I was starting this business, I engaged him. I said, look, there's got to be a way to make this much easier for people to understand. And so I not only engaged him, but I also engaged a peer of his from Yahoo, and now she's at the Gilt Group. So we've gone to really extensive efforts to make sure that this is a great user experience. But when a patient goes to see their practice, normally in the practice they'll have, you know, banners saying, hey, we're now using patient pay. So get ready, you're going to get a bill from patient pay. So after that, we know how much to charge the patient, right? That electronic claim is sent to us. We send them electronic information. It's branded as the practice. It gives them enough information so that when they log into our portal, which is a PCI-compliant level one, you know, portal, so it's very secure, they then have information about it. But to answer your question, it's driven by the practice. So that because the practices are the ones that are most interested in getting this stuff, you know, electronic, because it reduces their cost for paper and it reduces their cost to process, you know, these payments, which is extremely expensive. And in the olden days, when insurance was paying 90-95% of your, you know, revenue, it wasn't a big deal to do paper statements. But what's happened is with the ACA and with the shift in these high deductible plans, today on the public exchange, 60%+ of people are picking the silver plan. And the silver plan has a $6,000 family deductible.
Yep.
And another 20% are picking the bronze plan. And that has a $10,000 family deductible. So healthcare is being driven to be more consumer, you know, payments, but also they're going to have to be more consumer friendly so that, you know, the patients understand what they're paying and why they're paying. And that's kind of what we've been on the forefront of.
Well, I was going to ask you what the Affordable Care Act, the implications of that are to the appetite for having patient pay as part of the practice. Maybe you could address that from the perspective of two things. What sort of success stories you've enjoyed with patient pay or your clients have enjoyed with patient pay, and then where you see patient pay evolving given the changes to the U.S. healthcare system overall.
Well, Karen, that's a good point. And what, as I mentioned, the stats about the public exchange, which, you know, there are going to be 7 or 8 million new people that now have insurance that didn't have. So you have to go through that whole process to collect for them because, again, when 80%+ are picking these plans that have at least a $6,000 family deductible, there's a lot more out of pocket. But more importantly, the private exchanges, which is the businesses are now giving their employees a defined contribution instead of a defined benefit. So big businesses like Walgreens and Lowe's Hardware Store are now going to their employees and saying, here, Mr. Employee or Ms. Employee, it's $500 or $1,000 a month that you can buy any plan you want on this private exchange, and you can get eye if you want it, you can get dental if you want it, but these are your fixed dollars. And so now what we're finding is that the same trends that are happening on the public exchange are also happening on the private exchange, that employees are getting a lot more risk tolerant, if you will, and they're really buying insurance instead of managed care because it's their dollars.
Right.
So we estimate today that out-of-pocket's, you know, going to be a $300 billion market growing to, you know, $600 billion. I've even heard $1 trillion, according to Citi, because they estimate it's going to be a third of healthcare. And if healthcare grows to $3 trillion, it's going to be very, very big dollars that, you know, everyone's going to have to now automate just like, you know, the rest of us have done over the last few years in the payments world.
Wow, I think those are staggering. You know, those are staggering numbers. But I can see where they're probably not that far off the mark. Well, it sounds like what you can deliver to these practices is a mechanism, a platform for enabling payment to happen in certainly more efficient ways, and more efficiency means faster, and faster is always better. Are there other enhancements that you're thinking about as you look at the horizon and say, gee, more of these things are going to be absorbed out of pocket? And sometimes people don't always have the ability to pay in full those balances. Have you thought about things that you could enable as part of patient pay that could help those kinds of situations be more efficient as well?
Absolutely. So we work closely with a number of practice management system companies like Greenway, which is a big practice management vendor. So we're constantly working with them to figure out, what are the pain points and the value add that we can offer to our clients. And one of them is a payment plan. So actually, we've already built that into our system. So the real value that we offer to practices is, one, all you have to do is accept an email. Once the patient walks in and gives that practice an email, patient pay is automatically set up, and all that moving parts happens automatically. And two, we've built into the platform, payment plans. We're in discussions with a number of credit facilities that are looking at healthcare as a means to, help these folks out, because a lot of people don't have, $6,000 laying around that they can tap to pay their bill, or $10,000 laying around to tap to pay their deductible. So, healthcare and financial services companies have to come to the support of these folks to enable them to get the healthcare they need while, paying for it in a manner that, enables them to do that. And so we're doing that from a payment plan perspective, and obviously we are looking to offer credit potential, capabilities as well.
Well, Tom, thanks for taking a few minutes to explain how patient pay works and the value that it's delivering to practices in the healthcare space today, and certainly how you see it evolving and supporting their efforts going forward. It sounds like just the right thing at just the right time.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy reading I get your email every day, but reading your notes when you do put them out there. So I appreciate you calling.
Thanks very much, Tom. We'll look forward to staying in touch as this whole area evolves. Thanks again.
You bet, Karen. Thank you.